Hello everyone, welcome to episode 104 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm your host Varun, with me are Saurabh Samani and Jared Kimber. In case you're new to Crick Picks, it is a snake style draft where the order goes 1-2-3 and 3-2-1. Today we are combining to create an ODI team of the 1980s. Gentlemen, any thoughts before we begin?
Is it just the 1980s? Because, you know, is there any overflow or...
I think it's the 1980s. Like, all of us can largely agree that person was good in the 80s. It's fine. Like, I don't want us to pick someone who only played like one game in the 80s, for example. Like, that's a bit, that's pushing it to, like, that's shithousering a bit, in my opinion.
Are we allowed to pick players who we have picked in the 1990s Crick Picks draft?
Sure, if they make it okay. In, that works.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jared's going first. Jared?
Oh, well, this is the easiest.
Do you want to start us off?
Is this the easiest number one that we've ever had? Probably not. There might be some Boomer or WG Grace ones. But let's just go with Viv Richards here at number one. Done.
I think it's the easiest one.
Every uncle in the world is happy. They don't need to listen to the rest of this podcast now. That's all they wanted to hear. And they can move on. Very, very close. It was either him or Jeff Marsh, Varun. I couldn't decide. But I ended up going with Viv. Have you got his...
Personally, I was between Viv and Ravi Shastri. I think similar role players in the team, of course.
Viv Richards, according to adjusted numbers, would have averaged 49 at a strike rate of 105 if he played in modern cricket. And if you took his raw numbers, it's still pretty good for modern cricket.
Yeah, he still make almost every other team. I think we're just on those raw numbers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Easy pick. So, Saurabh, you're up next. I think after that strong pick.
I think I have two ways to go. There's two other straightforward picks who could be second. I'll just go with Kapil Dev.
Oh, fair. I was not expecting him to go second, I'll be honest.
No, his numbers in the 80s are outstanding, man.
I don't doubt his quality. I just didn't think he would be second. I knew he would be in the team, it's not second. But I think very good pick, yeah.
I had another player, which I think he will pick third. But I just thought because of the all-round ability, Kapil deserves to be a second ahead of the other guy. So his adjusted numbers I have here. For the 1980s, he's averaging 33.66 at a strike rate of 121.38, batting at mostly number 6. So that is like just elite at number 6. His bowling average is adjusted average is 27.8, economy of 4.9. So, you know, that's really the whole package. You could make a good case for him making the team as either a bowler or a batter, you know, if he's a specialist number 6. Those are ideal numbers for a number 6. If he's a first change bowler, that's also really good. Economy of 4.9 average.
He probably doesn't get in as a frontline bowler, does he? Just because there's a couple of other guys who take just a ton of wickets in the 80s.
Not in this team, but I think he would get into any team as a frontline.
But he would get into any of the teams in the 80s. Yeah, as a batter or a bowler.
Just on raw numbers, he had the most wickets in the 80s, 168.
Oh, no, he did. But there's a couple of guys who average like 18. So, you know, there's a couple of guys with ridiculous numbers when you look at the 80s. But even so, he's not far away. That's the point being is. But he's a very economical bowler as well. Have we lost Saurabh?
I think we have lost Saurabh.
That's good.
Was this 4 minutes?
At the 4 minute mark. Saurabh died.
Did I get disconnected? I went to check my Wi-Fi. It was fine. I don't know what happened. So
no idea.
So I was saying raw numbers, Kapil had the highest number of wickets in the 1980s. He had 168.
He had a lot of wickets.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, he was insanely good. Like, he was also in a great fielder for his era as well, right?
Great fielder.
That's the other thing.
And
built for ODI cricket.
And like, he had the all-timer World Cup in 83, right? He was probably...
So, I think... The way I would describe it is, I think Kapil Dev in ODIs is how Indian fans think he's in Test cricket, if it makes sense.
yeah. it does.
It's me, next, yeah. I believe. Joel Garner. Extremely shocked he's gone third. I'll be completely honest.
I mean, I was thinking of him second, but I thought, like I said, Kapil Dev's all-round ability and all that. That's why I picked him second.
So I think I was looking this up. So in the 80s, his raw bowling average is 18.68. And then adjusted is a pathetic 19.78. So I don't know, Jared, if you managed to look it up. So when he just took the new ball, He's averaging 16 in the 80s.
Wow.
So is it fair to say he's going to take the new ball in this team?
I don't know. Let's see how it comes out. There's actually quite a few bowlers, isn't there, that could take the new ball.
I think there's only new ball bowlers in the 80s. I just struggled to find any first change bowlers.
No, there's two. There's a couple. And Garner could certainly do it. There's one more if we want. There's another player who I think deserves to be mentioned. I don't know if he gets in the 11, but can certainly get in. But again, a lot of that depends on where you go. What's your next pick?
I'm going to go Sir Richard Hatley. I don't know if you guys had him in your 11, but
He was my fourth pick.
So I think his raw bowling average was 19.79. I think he's just behind Garner. I think just like what average is one less than Garner. And then the other thing is also, he also gives you some solid number 8 or number 9 level batting, right?
Yeah.
So which better than that. Didn't he average 22, 23?
His adjusted average is 26.44 for the 1980s.
Yeah, 26.91. So that's very handy number 8 there, that's right? That'd be a very good number 8.
It's funny, his strike rate isn't good, and I think he can whack it. So I don't know why his adjusted strike rate's at 91, which is, I think, lower than it deserves to be. But there might be a reason for that.
Because mainly because everyone in those positions also whack it. So comparatively, he doesn't get a boost.
Yeah, but him and Kapil are similar. But maybe Kapil bats 6 a bit more, I suppose. But yeah, you could be right.
Yeah. They're also, Kapil's just raw numbers are also much better, aren't they? Like, his raw strike rate's like 100, isn't it? So, I mean,
no, I would have thought Hadley would have been, I knew he would have averaged a lot less than Kapil, but I thought his strike rate would have been similar. He wasn't as good at bat, but he was always trying to hit boundaries.
Yeah. He's definitely more than capable of giving us like a 20 of 10 if you need it, right? That's what we're saying, essentially.
Yeah, he's exactly.
That would be the closest modern day version of his batting Jared at number 8. I don't know. Does anyone exist like that?
He's like probably better than a. Yeah, I was going to say slightly better than a Mitchell Starc.
Is he Marco Jansen level?
Yeah, he might be Marco Jansen. He might be Jamie Overton.
Jamie Overton. Jamie Overton and Richard Hadley in the same sentence.
Jamie Overton.
You don't hear them.
Jared Kimber, 2026, folks.
I saw Jamie Overton almost make 100 in first class cricket. Like, batting wise, obviously bowling, there's a little bit of difference between them. But yeah, I think Marco Jansen. I think Marco Jansen is probably at Hadley's level at the moment, but you would assume he's going to end up as a better bat than Hadley.
Yeah, he's got a higher ceiling. Yeah, you would think.
Sorry, I've stopped stuffing around to talk about ceilings.
Back to me. okay, I'll go with the opener that is a sure shot in Gordon Greenidge. I think he was the best opener of the 1980s. I don't know who you guys will pick as the second opener or whether I'll have to pick him.
So
but
adjusted, it's 55-97, which I remember it's a brief point, I think after the... Weirdly enough, Jared, I think when you did the podcast with Deepak and you mentioned the adjusted numbers, there was a bit of an uptick on the stats website because everyone was like, okay, where is this website he's getting these numbers from? So people were like, oh, I don't know. The algorithm is a bit off. Like none of the 90s guys are getting a boost in strike rate. I'm like, if you go back and actually look at the 80s guys, like Gordon Greenidge's numbers go from 48-66 to like 55-97. So they do get a boost. Just like people you think will get a boost don't get a boost. And I think, Jared, remember we were discussing like in the last year when we did this, for some reason, every single opener of that era is very underrated because every one of them opened with the Red Bull.
Yeah, so it's so odd. So the fact that he would have played a lot of cricket with the Red Bull, right? And he also probably would have played a lot of cricket in Australia. Like a lot of these guys played more ODIs in Australia than they did anywhere else. So he was a phenomenal player. I think the second opener position, I don't have a good answer for. The best answer is actually not to pick another opener, but that's it doesn't work particularly well. All right, so I've got two picks back to back. Let me just take Greenwich off my board. I will go with Zahir Abbas next, and I have to put him in the lineup, don't I? So where did he bat 4 mostly?
No, he batted 3.
Yeah, both, I think him and
Viv batted 4 a lot. Yeah. So actually, that fits in well. You know, Zed at 3, Viv at 4.
Who batted at 3 then?
For West Indies, I don't know.
Is it Richardson?
Maybe he did by the 80s.
Is it Richie?
They might have.
Is it Richie?
Zahir Abbas, your numbers make him look even better than that I would have said. And I would have had him as pretty high up. But you've got him as Zulu batting average of 56 at a strike rate of 102. He had a period of time where they were calling him the Asian Bradman, right? There was a period of time where it looked like every time he went out on the field, he was incredible. And I think me and Varun have looked at him before. He kind of just disappears. He doesn't maintain that. But his one-day numbers, I think, do hold up, whereas his test numbers don't. Like, as a young kid, I was looking at his test numbers going, why is this guy called Asian Bradman? But I think it was about 2 or 3 year period where he was probably the best in the world for a long period of time. Mm. You know, certainly up there with Viv anyway. And yeah, I think you could bat him in multiple positions in this.
So he's mainly a three in the 80s. I just checked it.
Yeah. And what about Viv in the 80s?
Viv is mainly four.
Fascinating. I would never have thought that. But maybe Richie Richardson comes in because it makes sense. We actually, by the way, haven't got a – where are we putting Kapil at the moment? Seven?
I had him at six.
Six or seven.
Yeah, you can put him at seven also.
And then Richard Hadlee at eight. Sorry, I'm just filling in that entire graphic because I realized that we hadn't done that yet.
yeah, so Richard Richardson was the number three for West Indies yard. He played 84 innings at three for West Indies in the 80s.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be the next Viv, right? It never quite happened as good as he was. He was in one of our other quick picks the other day. This then makes it a little bit trickier from here. So I've got Viv Richards and I've got Zahir Abbas. I'm just going to pick Waqar Yunus.
Mm. Did he play in the 80s?
Of course he played in the 80s.
But he debuted in 1989, right?
Did he? Didn't he play like a million games? Yeah. I thought he played like 30 games in the 80s.
He debuts with Sachin. Does he not debut with Sachin?
He and Sachin made their debuts together, test debuts in 1989.
I think he plays ODIs before that, guys. But let me just check. Maybe I got my dates wrong.
He plays 11 ODIs.
Oh, is it only 11? Sorry, I might have 1990 numbers in my numbers then. I might have the wrong one.
Oh, okay.
My fault.
Yeah, because he debuts with Sachin, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Around that period.
Yeah, no, I thought he was 88 and then played like 30 games. All right. Well, Waqar Yunus can take one then. all right, I'm gonna go Abdul Qadir.
He's the spinner.
Comfortably the best spinner.
The only spinner.
I mean, I think there's a good case that Viv Richards was the second best spinner of the 1980s.
I wouldn't say second best. I would say second most used, maybe.
Second most used.
Abdul Qadir was fantastic. Spun the ball both ways. Probably was a better ODI bowler than a test bowler. And he was a pretty good test bowler as well. Who is next? Peter Taylor from Australia, perhaps? I can't think of any of the Indian spinners really doing much.
I will not tolerate Ravi Shastri disrespect, Jared. Yeah, the leading wicket takers for spinners, by the way, Abdul Qadir, Ravi Shastri, and Viv Richards. How weak does your spinner have to be for Ravi Shastri and Viv Richards to be a second or third?
Who's the fourth? Who's the fourth leading one?
Is it Embury?
John Embury. Really known as a one-day spinner, John Embury.
Maninder Singh, Roger Harper, Tausif Ahmed. It just keeps falling. Okay. I don't think I know any of these people.
So Roger Harper, that's a good story for you. Roger Harper is known for his fielding, Varun.
Yes.
He basically plays because they use him as the 12th man, and then when there's a wicket that spins, he comes in for the West Indies. Literally, if he's on that list, spin was dead in the 80s. How many wickets did Peter Taylor get? Was Peter Taylor not in that list? Peter Taylor.
I think Peter Taylor is in that list. Yeah. Oh.
He has 46 wickets.
Have you ever seen Peter Taylor bowl, Varun?
I can't say I have, Jared.
It is worth Googling it just for the run-up alone. It is the campest thing you have ever seen. It's like someone has been watching Baryshnikov ice skate or something and has, you know, decided that they're going to, like, copy him. It's so weird. Anyway, Abdul Qadir was by far and away the best spinner. And, I've got him in at number 10, but we can move him around a bit in the batting order there.
Does he bat ahead of Garner or below? I think Garner ahead of him, right? So
no, I was checking it. Abdul Qadir is better than Garner.
Oh, he's better. Okay, I'm surprised.
I thought Abdul could hold a bat. Like, I don't think he was good, but I think he could hold a bat a little bit.
So I have Qadir Zulu adjusted as 2087 and Garner is 982.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. 20? I'm a little surprised. Okay.
Even raw numbers, he's averaging 16.
Which I was going to say, I think you've forgotten. Yeah. He could. There was some... I know we're getting into the weeds.
The 87 here, World Cup wasn't a Jared where him and someone else steer Pakistan home versus West Indies.
Oh, versus West Indies.
The game that, isn't that the Courtney Walsh game where he doesn't
Courtney
do the
Walsh
man
game.
Cap,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Non-man cap. Yeah.
That's a work nonsense by him, but yes.
they deserve to lose because he did punk it.
Exactly. But yeah, no, Abdul Qadir. So I've got double Pakistan there. Well, maybe I'm Bayram.
Yeah, I was about to say the Waqar Yunus pick is a very Bayram pick if you actually went through.
Oh my god, I picked three Pakistanis.
Yes.
Sir, before you do yours, we'll just take a quick break.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Welcome back to the Crick Picks episode on the ODI team of the 80s. Sarv was just about to do his pick.
I know we need a number 5. I don't know if this guy batted much at 5. I think he didn't. But I think we have to have him in the team. So I'll go Dean Jones.
Yeah, I was a bit the same with you. I was like, he's a number 3, right? But
yeah,
in this side, he makes sense. My only issue was I thought there was maybe someone else who could have batted at number 5 as well. Who might have been even more suited to it. But I was also thinking that Dean Jones might have been the backup opener, the second opener.
I think in my team, I had Dino at 3. I had Zahir Abbas at 5 because Abbas has the better strike rate. So
we could switch then, that also.
Yeah. I think any of them can bat any position, to be fair. Viv could be the 5 in this team, right? Yeah.
No, exactly. You can't have Viv at 5, right? You need him to bat earlier.
I mean, like, AB bats at 5 for me in an all-time team. I think Viv can bat at 5 in this one.
Dean Jones, he really does change ODI cricket quite a bit in this period. And then he slowed down a little bit and ended up being dropped by Australia randomly after being the world's best batter for a while. A lot of that was personality-driven as well. But he was the one who basically brings in charging quick bowlers. He's the one who's like first starts making people really run hard between the wickets. He wrote a whole book. You know how like you know the way that Ashwin was miles ahead of thinking about T20 cricket than anyone else. Dean Jones writes a whole book about one day cricket in like 1991, 1992, when no one is writing about ODI cricket. Half the players aren't even taking it seriously. And it's really interesting the way he talks about running between wickets and placing the ball, why he comes down the wicket to pace bowlers and all these sorts of things, which are now just normal. But before Dean Jones, they were not.
I mean, I saw his adjusted strike rate on Varun's numbers is 94.4. So I was like, yeah, I mean, that's you can have a number 5 at that. And the other guy who I think you also were thinking of at number 5, if it's the same guy, he had a much lower strike rate, which is why I thought he Dean Jones wins clearly.
He's the guy that inspired Dean Jones.
Yes.
But let's just wait for a moment in case he gets picked.
Yeah.
I got 2 picks, right?
Yeah.
I don't actually know if you have this player in your team, but I think he has to be. I'm going Imran Khan as my pick for this.
I'll tell you my logic for this, right?
Because in the 80s, he averaged 23 with the ball, with an adjusted average of like 24. Like Wasim Akram was the other one I was thinking of. He has very similar numbers, but Imran's obviously in the 80s a much better batter than Waz because Waz averages about 10 with the bat.
Yeah.
So you're not actually getting the high intent Waz either. Plus, I think because in the 80s, the other thing was I didn't trust a single wicketkeeper batter. So I was like, we might need some volume of runs from Imran. So in my team, I had Imran 6 and Kapil 7 and the keeper at 8. So I think especially plus in the 80s, I think Imran and Waz were very similar as bowlers. I don't think like Waz just gets much better in the 90s. And I know there's other pure bowlers.
I had another all-rounder ahead of him.
Really?
Yeah. And
I also had an all-rounder.
I'm not sure if Sarab might have had him, but I reckon that Varun has missed him.
Okay.
There's a particular all-rounder who's only famous for ODI cricket.
I think it's the same one that I had, but I might pick him next time.
I have completely missed him, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea who you're talking about, considering.
Where are we putting Imran Khan in this at 6?
six.
Yeah, have him at six and have him six, Kapil seven, whoever keeper we pick. And
oh, God, we haven't put a keeper in yet, have we?
No.
Keeper, I think eight is probably... Whatever keeper we pick is batting at eight, Jared. There isn't a single keeper I trust.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So you're right.
Correct.
What do we have? Jared, can you read the team out so far?
Yes. Because
I have no clue what we're missing.
Gordon Greenidge is opening on his own. Zahir Abbas at three. Viv Richards, four. Dean Jones, Imran Khan, Kapil Dev, Richard Hadley at nine. So we have no number eight or wicketkeeper. And that means we have a full complement of bowlers, especially because we've got Viv Richards' rubbish bowling as well. We've got six bowlers, I think. And obviously we don't have the 12th either at this stage.
Then I might also go for the second opener. Mm-hmm. I had two options for it, I think.
Yeah, I think all of us would have had those two same options.
Yeah. I think I'll just take Desmond Haynes because they both of them batted together quite a lot. So the other one I was thinking was Graham Gooch because he also has very similar numbers for some reason.
I was thinking Navjot Singh.
I was thinking Chris Srikanth. Okay, we all had different ones.
I don't think there was an obvious answer here. I had Haynes written down, and then I was sort of like, Sidhu actually has really good numbers in around that period. And Chris Srikanth has in a kind of different
Srikanth
way.
Has Sehwagian numbers in the 80s, the adjusted stats that...
It's not quite Sehwag though, is it? Because his strike rate's like 104. Like even as quick as he was, he's still
Also, he doesn't average Sehwag's
career numbers, I meant. Sehwag's career, not the adjusted numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly averages less than Sehwag, but yes.
32.45 at 105. Sehwag is about 35 at 105.
So I just think, as much as anything, it's absolutely incredible that, of all people, Varun has picked not just the anchor, but perhaps, you know, the anchor's anchor.
So I think I was just looking at the adjusted numbers. Greenidge, Gooch, and Sidhu all basically have the same adjusted numbers. It's basically a flip a coin type thing. So anyone they could have picked any of them. I just wanted to pick Haynes because he opens with Greenidge as well. So we have
that makes sense,
well, right?
Okay, so I'll leave the wicketkeeper for you, Jared. I'll pick the all-rounder that I think you had, which is Lance Cairns. Did you have him?
No, it wasn't Lance Cairns.
Okay.
Wow. He wasn't far off either, but I don't know if his numbers are quite as good or as the other guy. So but
his adjusted numbers, they really popped. The strike rate is 127. And it's at he averages 19.2. So I thought he's like a perfect number eight. You know, if you're giving me 127... he's giving 20 of 10 sort of, no, and he's the one of the bowlers who doesn't need to take the new ball, which is also why I thought he would be useful.
Since
the others have been more effective. Kapil Dev always bowled with the new ball, even though in this team he might not. So that's why I had Lance Cairns. His bowling was also decent. It was not outstanding. It was
you're thinking of Steve Waugard?
Nope.
Were you thinking of Simon O'Donnell?
Simon O'Donnell.
Yeah, I had him also.
I would never have
picked
him. I had,
have a look at his figures.
Never have thought of
it. I reckon he averages 23 with a bat with one of the highest strike rates around, even adjusted. And he came in at 7 and 8. Averages about 28 with the ball and bowled at the death, right?
He averages 31 with the ball in the 80s.
I said 31 with the ball, sorry. Back of the hand slow balls at the death.
So he's
I would have him ahead
just said it's 28-88.
Yeah.
So that's why I went for Lance Cairns, because the strike, I thought you need the better strike rate rather than the average.
Well, I wasn't, but I was thinking of Imran Khan. I think Simon O'Donnell makes more sense for Imran Khan at number six.
Right.
Right. Whereas Lance Cairns makes more sense if you want more hitting down the order. Right. So they do different roles.
Because because Imran's strike rate was 87 and his Simon O'Donnell's is 88. So
yeah, but I saw both of them play and I can tell you which one.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
Also, Imran is another new ball bowler, right? Like, with fair. Simon O'Donnell, specifically that you got something else with the all-rounder. I still think Imran Khan's.
But
really
my think if you have Garner to bowl the death, I don't really care who builds with them. That's my logic.
Simon O'Donnell had the fastest ODI 50 before Jayasurya broke it. He had an 18 ball 50. Yeah, that's how I that's when I first heard of him, because when Jayasurya broke the record, it was whose record has he broken?
Yeah.
So that's when, like,
I don't know. He was a beast. He's just a big dude. And also, I think if you invent something that people are still using all these years later, you should get a bump on these sorts of random subjective lists. Okay, Wicketkeeper. I think you guys have slept on someone who I think is a pretty good, I haven't got his adjusted numbers in front of me, but I actually think he was a pretty good one-day cricketer who, the reason we don't give him the credit that he probably deserves these days is more to do with the fact that he, we weren't thinking about it this way, but I think if you go through Rod Marsh's career, I think he's a pretty good one-day wicketkeeper, right?
Yeah, that's who I had.
Yeah, he played. I know some of his best innings are in the 70s, so it's a bit tricky. And he only plays for what, about 4 years? Have you got his adjusted numbers there?
Yeah, it's 26 at 105.
Yeah, you'd take that at number eight, wouldn't you? I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
He was.
I don't think we slept on Jared. I don't think any of us wanted to take him early on. That's basically
it. No, but we were saying we weren't sure there was a wicketkeeper, and I was like, I think there might be a wicketkeeper. Rod Marsh was...
There is a wicketkeeper. My thing was, I didn't think anyone could bat in the top seven, and I stand by it with Rod Marsh.
Yeah, no. I think Rod Marsh, even in that team... I disagree. I think he was a good number seven because he was a proper hitting number seven.
Mm.
In that he would come in and just... The thing with Rod Marsh is, if you look at his batting average in one-day cricket, and you look at his batting average in Test cricket, he wasn't really suited to Test cricket. Whereas in one-day cricket, he would gift his wicket away so often because he was chasing strike rate, right? Mm. So he averages, 27 in Test cricket, right? But he averages 20 in ODIs because he was coming in, Varun, and he would just swing off his ass the whole time. He also saved...
I imagine you'd have to once Jeff Marsh bats like 70,000 deliveries.
I don't
right?
think they quite crossed over the two, but there were some worse players that Rod Marsh had to play with. But yeah, I think it was quite good. I don't know who's the backup wicketkeeper. Is there?
I was thinking Ian Smith.
Is the one I thought.
Ian Smith was all strike rate and no runs, though, wasn't he? Was my memory of him.
I had Wayne Phillips, Jared.
Oh, you can't have Wayne Phillips. He may.
No. I was like. So Wayne Phillips' raw numbers are 26-91 and adjusted is 28-108. So that's what I was thinking.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I honestly didn't care which one they went, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Wayne Phillips was interesting because that was that whole thing of like they wanted a wicketkeeper who could bat and he takes over from Marsh. And he has like 10 first-class hundreds, like which Australia had never done anything like that before. And they gave him about 3 years and he was gone. This is just like, so despite though, I don't know, did he make any runs in Test cricket, Wayne Phillips? I can't remember.
He averaged 32, I
think. He averaged 32. That's a really good average for a wicketkeeper. Like you could tell they were just like, this man can't wicketkeep. We're not interested in how good he could bat. And they just moved on and got Ian Healy. A young Ian Healy as well. All right. So I have gone Viv Richards, Zahir Abbas, Abdul Qadir and Rod Marsh. Saurabh has gone Kapil Dev, Gordon Greenidge, Dean Jones, Lance Cairns. And Varun has gone Joel Garner, Richard Hadley, Imran Khan and Desmond Haynes. Sometimes you look at this and go, oh, I know who's going to win. I'm like, I have no idea who's going to win this one. Our lineup is...
Varun might win it. No, I mean, he has...
No, I think Jared will, because I think the people will only know Viv Richards in this team.
or if I
Saurabh, because he has Kapil Dev. Right,
because I was going to say, on our channel, you might win for having Joel Garner. All right. The lineup is, and we can make any slight tweaks to this if we need to, but at the moment it is Gordon Greenidge, Desmond Haynes, Zahir Abbas, Viv Richards, Dean Jones, Imran Khan, Kapil Dev, Rod Marsh, Richard Hadley, Abdul Qadir, Joel Garner, and Lance Cairns. Batting down to nine, guys. And not the worst number 10 in the world either.
Hold about two. Yeah.
Even Garner is a good number 11. I know that's a weird thing to say, but like it's a pretty strong batting lineup. And we've got Viv Richards bowling and Imran Khan bowling in the top six. There's a lot of bowling.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
No,
I don't know if you agree with my hot take that I think pound for pound, the 80s ODI team is better than the 90s and 2000s one.
I'm not sure about the 90s, man. I
think it's definitely better than the 2000s from what I looked at for the 2000s.
It might be better than the 2000s, yeah. The 90s, I think 90s, the 90s...
You got 100, you've got so many openers in the 90s and you've got... Yeah. With all due respect,
there's
Imran
no middle
Khan,
order, though.
Don't you just replace Imran Khan with Lance Klusner?
Yeah. And you know, Sean Pollock is very bad for Richard Hadley.
You have Pollock instead of Hadley.
And you have Wasim Akram in the 90s.
I wouldn't have. Would you have Pollock instead of Hadley? Because they're very similar numbers.
Do you have Gilchrist instead of Marsh?
Yeah.
We don't have Marsh, do we?
No.
No, we have Marsh in the 80s.
Oh, as a batting. Yeah, definitely. I was thinking at Gilchrist as the opener.
You got Warner Muirley instead of Abdul Qadir. I think the 90s takes it.
Yeah, that's what I felt.
2000s, I'd be more interested.
The '90s middle order is weak, but other than that, you know, they are stacked at the top and the bottom.
I like the 2010s too. I think the 2010s is fun.
Mm. Yeah, well, what
I don't know if it wins, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's a fascinating one. But yeah, no, this was good, and congratulations to everyone watching who knows three of these players.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, any notable names we missed out in your opinion? I think we missed Vaz.
Yeah.
He was still really good in the 90s.
How many wickets
80s?
Did Curtly Ambrose get in the 80s?
Not too many. He made his debut in 88 like or something. 61. So,
61's a lot. What was his average? Like 17?
19. That's not bad.
Because he was really good in the 80s. And by the 90s, Curtly didn't do as well in one-day cricket. And I've never understood why that is the case.
I think there's the Sean Pollock thing happens soon. Teams just play him out.
What about Botham?
I did not have both of them in Gloomney with this.
I looked at him, but I did not have him because I just thought he's not done enough. Like,
he was pretty shit in a lot of the 80s. I mean, on raw talent, you have him obviously ahead of Cairns or O'Donnell, but I'm not sure that you would get them in. Salim Malik.
Salim Malik. Salim Malik's numbers really popped.
I know. 80s, I couldn't believe that just for the 80s. I think Javed Miandad is worth discussing, and we didn't bring him in. He's the player who obviously inspires Dean Jones, but Dean Jones does do it better, right?
Exactly.
And the thing with Javed Miandad is he kind of only half tried in one day cricket. I think if you get the full Javed Miandad like you did in Test cricket, he's in this side, right? I don't think there's any element, but not everyone took one day. Like, a lot of these guys took one day cricket really seriously. And if you look at Javed Miandad and Ian Botham, those are two guys who did not. Right. And you know, maybe there's a reason why they're not there. Is there any other bowlers?
Clive Lloyd is the other one, I think, which we could have had. Clive Lloyd.
Clive Lloyd. But he played very few matches in the 80s. Otherwise, I really wanted to go for him. But
yeah.
He played like some less than 40 matches, I think. So
I don't think he's in ahead of anyone here, though, is he?
That's the other thing, right? Yeah. Once you go in, Zahir Abbas, Dean Jones and Viv, you couldn't.
What about Lily?
Lily was the one I was thinking of. Holding was the other.
I was going to say, Lily, Holding and Roberts, because I think all three of them have pretty good numbers. The one that is hilarious to me is Carl Rackerman.
Oh, I didn't look at him at all. What are his numbers?
Carl Rackerman actually has, I don't have it in front of me. Do you have it in front of you?
I also looked at Malcolm Marshall. He's pretty good. I mean, he's not as known for ODIs as tests, obviously. But he had a pretty decent, bowling and useful sort of batting record.
Carl Rackerman, 52 games.
For some
games,
reason, he's more defensive bowler. I don't know why.
Carl Rackerman, 52 games, 82 wickets at 23. That's ridiculously good at less than four runs and over. And if you go back and you watch highlights of Australia playing cricket, like, you know, if you watch highlights of the 80s, you will see Carl Rackerman just bowling dudes all the time, right? And he had this big awkward action, but I've never heard anyone talk about him as this really good one day player. Like, his name has never come up. And when I saw his numbers here, I was like, what on earth? The other one is Terry Alderman. Terry Alderman, again, never seen anyone, talk up Terry Alderman's record. So it is quite fantastic. By the way, Alan Border took 50 wickets with his spin in the 80s. Mind you, also won a World Cup for Australia with one of the worst deliveries of all time. That when Mike Gatting does that reverse sweep is absolutely a rank delivery. But yeah, so those are probably, you guys mentioned Malcolm Marshall, of course, as well. He was certainly someone up there.
Did you have Steve Orchard?
I looked at Steve Waugh too. I thought he would be useful, but I couldn't see who he would get in ahead of in this side. So
I
think he's just Imran but worse.
Simon O'Donnell and Steve Waugh played in the same team, and I think in that era in the 80s, Simon O'Donnell was the better cricketer out of the two of them. Steve Waugh, I don't remember him making many ODI runs. He didn't really know what to do with his batting, but he was a good bowler. His bowling is probably what pops, isn't it?
He's actually adjusted batting average is 42 at 88.6.
Well, it's not too bad then. That's, I just don't remember, like, I did think about him, but I just couldn't remember many, like, his. So him and O'Donnell at the death was the big thing, right? Because then they bowled Craig McDermott and Merv Hughes and Carl Rackerman would come in as the senior bowler, but they could get more batting into the side because those two guys could bowl at the death. And so that was the big thing that Steve Waugh and Simon O'Donnell really gave that side. You know, I mean, the 87 team that Australia win the World Cup with had three guys with slightly different slow balls. And they weren't. Most of cricket didn't even know there were three slow balls at that stage. Like, it's, you know, actually, I didn't have a look. Is Craig McDermott, did he not, was he just injured too much in the 80s? Actually, his record's not that great. Yeah. Maybe he just had a really good World Cup.
World Cup, yeah. He had a good 1987 World Cup. Apart from that, maybe he didn't do much.
He takes 91 wickets. So I was going to say he was injured a lot, but maybe he wasn't. But yeah, no, that was fun. Are we going to do a 70s one and just pick Gary Gilmore in every position? Is it just Gary Gilmore and Collis? Is it Collis King? No, is that
Collis King?
Yeah, it's just Collis Gary King. Gilmore and Collis King in
Randall. Glenn Turner, Jared. Glenn Turner.
Glenn Turner. And then we have Sunil Gavaskar opening because you couldn't dismiss him.
That's fair.
Even in 60 overs. Yeah.
All right, folks, I think we had a lot of fun today. We'll see you again next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make any content, Minbo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minbo.pro now.